You know what? You know what the weather will be. If the sky is red, you say we will have good weather. And in the morning, if the sky is dark and red, you say that it will be a rainy day. These are signs of the weather. You see these signs in the sky and know what they mean. In the same way you see the things that are happening now, these are also signs, but you don't know their meaning. So the Lord Jesus is speaking, actually is speaking to the Pharisees mostly. This version that I just took, it removes some, it doesn't have the words that say, "You hypocrites." And I love this verse, this actually, because I don't think I'm speaking to any hypocrite. Praise the Lord. I believe I'm speaking to some people who love Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm speaking to the people who love Jesus. So this version, when I was taking this version, I did not see the word hypocrite. I said, praise the Lord. I was like, Lord, I don't want to remove your word, but if this version has removed that word hypocrite, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the word of the Lord, the Lord Jesus himself is speaking, but this word is concerned of us today. It asks a question. When you see the weather, the sunset, you know what time it will be. But what about now? You see the sign. There's a lot of signs that happen, but you cannot tell. These are also signs, but you don't know their meaning. That's the word, that the phrase, I mean, the last sentence. But you do not know their meaning. The meaning of the signs that are happening. What is a sign? We all know what a sign is. When you're driving, a few days ago, I was driving somewhere, and the police stopped me. Made me stop, and he said, you did not see the sign. I tried to explain to him a lot of things, but he said, we put the sign on the road so that you can see. I said, I did not see the sign. Maybe it's hidden somewhere. He said, there was a sign right there. And because of that, he gave me a ticket. I had to pay a fine for that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So why I did not see a sign? A sign is to speak to us. A sign is the language. One of the ways that God speaks to us is through signs, is through things that happen. How many times have the Lord spoken to you? Through the things that happen. Now, that's in specific for a certain person. But God is also speaking to us through the things that happen on the world. He's speaking to the church through the things that happen. In Matthew 24, which is one of the scripture that we use a lot, Matthew chapter 24. The disciples of Jesus are going to Jesus and asking Jesus, Lord, what are the signs of your coming and the signs of the end of the world? All right, let's look at what's happening now. What's happening now on the planet, COVID-19, the major thing, killed a lot of people. It's a lot of scary to a lot of people. Okay, we have vaccines now, but they're afraid. I mean, people are vaccinated, but they are still afraid, because being vaccinated is a good thing, but maybe it's a bad thing to some. It depends on how you take the vaccine, you think of the vaccine. But I don't want to go into that and cause a discussion. But the people are dying anyway. All right, so we have COVID. What about, we have wars. You can escape the COVID. You might not be caught by COVID, but maybe there's war. You say, no, I'm in China, there's no war. But what about your home country? Is it safe? There is wars in the Middle East. We just saw what happened in Afghanistan and other parts of the Middle East are still war. Many parts of Africa, they're still fighting. People are still running here and there. You say, no, I'm in a safe place. What about terrorism? What about terrorism? It's all over the world. I mean, you might be thinking it's safe at one second. At another second, it's all blown up. Terrorism is everywhere. All right. What about rumors of war? I just heard that I was following the news, and I can see the tension between Taiwan and China mainland. And I don't say that the world would break or anything like that, but it's rumors of war. Like it's a lot alarming. What about the earthquakes that are happening around the world? What about the volcanic eruptions that, I mean, it's too much. People have been evacuated from a lot of places. What about floods? We have floods in Europe. We have floods in Europe. What about that? I mean, who could expect a lot of floods in Europe? Like what happened was so bad. A lot of people lost their lives. With all the best infrastructure, one of the best infrastructure, we can say Germany, we can say Belgium, but these places were highly affected. Many people died. And they don't even know the exact number of people who died. What about the floods? We had floods here in East Africa. Some places in Burundi are still underwater. In Tanzania, we're still underwater. And Lake Tanganyika, what about that? What about the dictatorship that is going around the world? What about that? What about, we used to, I mean, many countries that we are free, they are not free anymore. I mean, basically, they are not free anymore. I was speaking to a friend from Australia, and he was telling me about the situation there. And I was saying, no, I thought Australia was one of the most free countries. Things are changing. What about agendas that are pushed by medias? Medias are now pushing a lot of very bad agendas all around the world. What's this? These are alarming things that are happening on the earth, on this planet right now. But Matthew 24, let's go Matthew 24. Maybe we can just look at some two verses. Especially let's look at verse 7, Matthew 24, verse 7. So that says, you say, because nation will rise up in arms against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. The other version, the King James Version, says something as well. There will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. Wow. It almost like summarizes what I just said is happening on the planet right now. It's almost like summarize what's going on earth right now. But if you go to the prophecies that were spoken by Daniel and in the book of Revelation and part in the book of Ezekiel, you will see that the Lord Jesus was trying to explain to us under Matthew 16, verse 2 and 3, when you see the sunset, you know that what the weather will be. If you see this, if the sky is red, you say it's good weather. And in the morning, if you see the dark and red, you say it will be a rainy day. When we see this, what do we see? People of God, we are in the end times. We cannot speak anyway. You know, when I share the word of God, especially when I preach to people about maybe when I'm preaching like the word of God for salvation, evangelizing, I like using the example that Jesus gave. The Lord Jesus gave two examples of what will happen in the end times when it comes to comparison. He said, it were in the days of Noah, and as it were in the days of Lot, of Sodom and Gomorrah. You can see as it was in the days of Noah and as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. In the days of Noah, what happened was a lot of success and pride. If you look, read the historians, what they say, is at that time there was a lot of evolution and technological, technology, like expanded revolution, technological revolution. There's a lot of innovation and all of that. And men thought, yes, advancement, thank you, technological advancement and all of that. And people thought that now we are good, now we can make it. Now they forgot God. And that's what's happening right now. And he said the second thing, what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. What happened in Sodom and Gomorrah was the sin of people of the same sex marrying each other. And look at what's happening right now. The main two things that's happening among people. We are proud now that we are developed. We've got all science together. We've got everything together. And two, it's the agenda around the planet. Right? One of the biggest agenda is people of the same sex can marry each other. What are these? The Lord Jesus knew that these things are going to happen. And it reminds us that it's coming soon. So I want to go with my notes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So what is the Lord speaking to us? So I can say point number one. What's the most important thing that the Lord is telling us to do? What does the Lord tell us now, given these facts? Matthew 24, verse 44. As you continue to read, you can read on your own, Matthew 24. It will bless you so much if you look at the things that are happening now and the things that were prophesied in the Word of God. Matthew 24 says this, verse 44. So you too must be ready, because at an hour you are not expecting him, the Son of Man will come. The question is, are you ready? Ask yourself in your heart, are you ready to face Jesus? Are you ready to face Jesus? Are you ready to go to talk Jesus face to face? Now, are you ready? Now, the question, if you look at Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, it also speaks a lot about the question, are you ready, in different forms. When you read chapter 2, Revelation 2 and 3, it talks about the seven churches of the book of Revelation, that these seven churches were letters which were written by John, in the island of Patmos. He wrote this after being revealed by the Lord of the different things that were going on in the church. But these things were not written to them only. They were written for us at the seven churches of the book of Revelation. We're representing the seven types of churches that are in the end time today. So when we look at that, the question that is mainly asked there, if we can summarize the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, is, are you ready? Are you ready to meet Jesus? This question goes to both people. It goes to a believer and to an unbeliever. To a believer, are you doing what you're supposed to do? To an unbeliever, are you ready to face the eternal punishment or accept Christ and live? For the prophecies that I just spoke about, which are in Matthew 24, and you compare to the things that are happening now, are vivid proof that God is real, that God saw this moment is coming, and this moment is now. Praise the Lord. Let me see if you can still hear me. Can somebody say, I hear you? Comment, I hear you.
I hear you. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So to a believer, are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? To an unbeliever, are you ready to face the eternal judgment or accept Christ and live? What God has spoken in the Bible, prophesying, speaking about the things that are going to come, he knew there is God's timetable. He knew that things will happen. He knew how sin will evolve to this day, that man will want to do the things that he doesn't want to do. He wanted to create us to do. Sin, when it's given an opportunity, it can turn into anything. There's a lot of things that are happening now that 10 years ago and 20 years ago, we never thought that could happen. You know, there are some world music that are being sung by people in my country. I never thought a human being could sing those songs and be applauded for those songs, because they are total insults. I mean, from the beginning of a song to the end of the song is total insult. I never thought somebody could applaud those songs. But the people who sang those songs are being called in meetings, government big meetings. They are being called, and I'm like, What are we trying to say to our children? Are these guys the heroes who sing these songs? We are raising our children who are seeing the people who are doing the bad things become heroes and stand on stage. I'm like, where is the world going? And always children will have to be like the heroes of the nation. So another day, we expect our the children who are coming, oh Lord, I'm going to pray for my boys, hallelujah, and my daughters that the Lord will give me. I don't want them to come and be part of the things that are happening right now. Those songs, they're applauding what's evil. They know it's evil. I can't even have my ears to listen to those songs. They're just like pornography in a song, but they are being applauded. What's happening? It's the end time. Sin has evolved to a point that it is applauded. It's no longer being rebuked. It doesn't matter where you are. There's no safe place that you can bring somebody. There's no good place that you can hide at. So Christ Jesus is asking us, believers, are you doing what you're supposed to do? Christ Jesus is asking non-believers, are you ready to face eternal punishment or accept me as I died for you on the cross? I've proved to you so many times that these things are real. And they are going, and if what we're seeing now was prophesied and it's happening, the truth is that the future is coming, is coming as it's also written. Now what's written is say, I'm coming quick. Behold, I'm coming quick. When you see these signs, I'm coming quickly. Know that I'm coming quickly. Know that I'm right. I'm almost there. Again. Hallelujah. Jesus is saying, I'm almost there. So let's look God further insight into this verse that I just read. So you too must be ready. In many versions, it's written, be also ready. Now, Jesus is saying, be also ready. Why is he saying, be also? Who, if somebody is saying also, somebody must be ready for this person to use the word also. Now, Jesus was referring to himself, be also ready. I am ready, so be you also ready. Jesus is referring to himself, be also ready. What he's trying to do? He's trying to say, I've been on earth. I'm being with you. I know how being ready is. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying it's going to be fun. But I'm just trying to tell you, be ready. Do what you're supposed to do. For the person who does not believe the Lord or is playing around, are you ready to face eternal punishment? Do what you're supposed to do. Accept me, Jesus. So here the Lord is calling. Is calling us to readiness. Be ready. Do you remember the parable of Jesus about the 10 people that were 10 virgins, 5 were fools and 5 were wise? Do you remember how Jesus said he would come in an hour that they expected not? So they had to have fuel with them, with their lamps full of fuel. But guess what? 5 of them say, we know you're coming. We're going to have fun for some time. We'll be quick, Lord, when you come, we'll be quick. We know the shop is too close. We'll be quick. We'll go there, get some, and get back. But it was not enough. The Lord is reminding us to be ready at any moment and us to do what we're supposed to do. There's a lot of things that we're supposed to do. I'll summarize them to the basics at the end. Luke 18, verse 8. All right. Luke 18, verse 8. Jesus is asking, if he comes, will he find faith on earth? That's a very difficult question. If somebody asks you that question, like, maybe this is not a good example, but I'm going to give it anyway. If your husband or your wife is leaving and he tells you, If I come, will I still find you loving me? I think you'll feel bad about that question. Why do you doubt? Why do you doubt me? In that point, why do you doubt me? Or your fiance? Why do you doubt me? I don't think this is a good question to ask. But the Lord is asking us, will I find faith on earth if I come? Will I find you do what you're supposed to do? Then the Lord left. And guess what? Peter called the other guys and they went back to fish. He came back and asked Peter, do you love me more than these? Peter was not doing what he was supposed to do. He went to do other stuff that he was not supposed to do. He went back to be fisher of fish instead of fisher of men, as he was called to do. Anyway, we know then that Peter did not have the Holy Spirit. But he already had commitment that he had to keep. Peter cried and he felt bad in his heart that he has abandoned his mission. But what about you and me today? The Lord is reminding us. He's reminding you with love. He's reminding you. He's reminding me with love. He's speaking to us. And he's saying, are you ready? Are you ready? I'm coming quickly. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready, my brother? Are you ready, my sister? Are you ready? He's coming. He's coming. He's close. The second point that I want to speak about, that in the signs especially, it's a good, that this sign that I just gave were really terrible. I mean, were really terrible. We have to be ready and all of that, but they were terrible. Hallelujah. But there's another sign that I love it so much. It's Matthew 24, verse 14. I love this verse. Matthew 24, verse 14. I don't know, I should read it. All right. Matthew 24, verse 14. What does it say? He says, and the good news of the kingdom shall be preached in all the earth to be a witness to all nations or to all people, and the end shall come. I love this because to me, it prophesies about a revival that's about to hit the planet. It will be so hard that it shall be a witness to everybody who is living on earth. It shall be so powerful that everyone is going to hear about Jesus. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. And I want to hold to that prophecy. I believe that, not that just if something God says, I'll give you this, and then you just go and sleep and say, God will give me this, and then it will happen. No. We maybe need to pray about it, and even if the Lord promised something, we still need to pray about it. You know, we need to cover it up in prayers and not allow the enemy in any ways to take it out. We need to be somebody say we need to be in the faith street. If the Lord promised you something, you need to be in the faith street. Know that the Lord has promised you something, and you leave the faith street. Then he comes, if he doesn't find you in the faith street and in the commerce of heaven, in the business of heaven, faith is the currency to receive things. So the Lord is coming and he cannot find your address. You're not in the faith street. You're in the fear street. You're in the sin street. You're in this street. You're in that street. You're in the hopeless street. Let us be in the faith street. Now, I'll speak about that as I conclude. The Bible is speaking to us about God, the harvest that Jesus is saying, that the good news, and I love what it says. I don't know. Let me check the English word for this, 24 verse 14. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know. The English Bible doesn't have it good. I love the, okay, let me use what I have. It's like saying it is a must, or that the good news should go to everyone's life. It must that the good news go to every person here, to all the nation. It's a must. This is a promise of revival. It's a promise of a move of God that is going to happen in this end time, that I believe it started to happen. I've seen right now many people rising to share the word and become bold for Jesus. Right now, I've just started seeing these things. I've started seeing even the people were relaxed, youths coming up, rising and starting to declare Jesus and share the gospel and go for missions and do this and that. I believe it has started. John chapter 4, verse 35. It says this: "Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until the harvest. I tell you," this is Jesus saying, "I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." Hallelujah. The Lord is telling us, open your eyes. Open your eyes. It means that we close our eyes. It means that we slept. So the Lord is reminding us. He's awakening us. Open your eyes. And I'm here to share this to someone, to tell you, open your eyes. There is a big harvest. The field. Look at the field. Open your eyes. They are ripe for harvest. What is it that the Lord is pushing you to do? Do you think it's small? No, it's not small. The small thing that you can do to touch one person. You do not know what that person is going to do. Open your eyes. When you do that small thing that you call it small, God is going to make it big. Didn't he use the small things? The things that were called shame, to even the cross. The cross was the shameless thing. But he used the cross. Today we bless God for the cross. Can you imagine? What was something like, it was something that somebody should not talk about. It was the highest level of shame. Somebody was put on the cross. And Jesus took that. And he went on the cross. God can use whatever that he tells you to do. No matter small, no matter big. I mean, many times we call it small or call it big because of what we are seeing with our eyes. But the Lord doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to be ready to do what we are supposed to do, no matter what. You may do something and cause a change to one person. It's very enough. Jesus, if there could be one person on earth, Jesus could come on earth and die on the cross for that one person. Actually, John 3:16, "For God loved the world that he sent his only son, that whosoever believed," singular, "whosoever believed." If it's one person that is going to believe, "whosoever believed shall not perish." He doesn't say, "and those who believe shall not perish." "And whosoever believed shall not perish." Jesus is calling us all to open our eyes and look at the field and have the kingdom mindset in us. The question is, so the reminder is, open your eyes. The question is, am I asleep? Try to evaluate yourself. Try to ask yourself, in that thing that the Lord has told you to do, that's, you call it small? Yeah, I don't know. But that, somebody told me the other day, actually it's from China as well, but from another fellowship, but he's a Tanzanian, so we know each other. He texted me and said, "Amani, I want to do something." He was doing something on Instagram, so he was asking, I mean, "How should I do it good? I mean, do you think it's good?" I say, "You're doing for Jesus?" "Yes." "It's good. It's wonderful." Don't look at the number of people who view. I thought he would have said, "I should give him some idea." I really pray that the Lord would give me a revelation of what he should do, but he did not. So should he stay silent and say, "Oh, I'm waiting God to reveal to me"? Many of us think, "Oh, I'm going to just be praying and asking God to give me something that I need to do." No. Why the Lord has already spoken to us a lot of things, you know, not done this. That's a simple thing that you can do now. Do it as you continue to ask. And in the process, God will show you more what to do. And even if he keeps you do what that small thing, is still enough. Do it with all your might, with all passion. Are we awake? Are we awake or are we asleep? Oh Lord Jesus, am I awake or I am asleep? Help me, Lord. that I may be on it. The other time, the other Matthew 9:37, the Lord Jesus is asking us to pray and say that the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. Pray that the Lord may send, God may send laborers into the vineyard or into the field. In other words, what we just discussed is like, let us pray for more workers to awake from sleep. Let us pray for more workers to awake from sleep. All right, another point I would like to say, what to do. The last 2 points will be on what to do mostly. First, do the basics. I say the basics. So I'm going to the last 2 points. Do the basics. What in our readiness? I know that. Praise God. He was not led by the Lord. I know that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you can hear me, you can make a comment. I hear you. Thank you, Jesus. Just make a comment. I hear you. Hallelujah.
We hear you.
Yeah. Thank you. So I love these things, these 4 points that are in this point of keeping the basics. What I learned in my few times, in the short time that I've been walking with the Lord, what I've learned is that these 4 points are really important to every believer. And I'll suggest that you look at them very carefully and try to evaluate yourself in daily basis about them. In daily basis about them. Or at least, if not daily, maybe weekly, evaluate yourself about them. Though they have helped me a lot, and I believe they'll be a blessing to someone. In these times that we're having, in these end times that we're having, the basics are very important. You know, many times we run to big things to do, but we forget the basics. If we do the big things and forget the basics of making the foundation. We can build a big house without a good foundation. It doesn't matter how big it is. It will easily fall when the winds come. First, pray. Be a person of prayer. Look at this basic now. Be a person of prayer. Make sure you pray every day. Somebody says, I find myself praying for 10 minutes and I cannot continue. I want to pray for an hour. Good. Excellent. I'll pray for a long time as well. Are you praying for that 10 minutes that you say you want to pray? You can pray in those 10 minutes. Good. Can you pray in those 10 minutes? Do you pray now in those 10 minutes? Because it's good. It's easy to say, I can pray for 10 minutes. All right. The question. The question is, do you now pray? God is calling us to pray. And let me tell you the secret about prayer. Is that when you start praying and continue praying, you'll find yourself praying more. If you start praying and continue praying, you'll find yourself praying more. It's just like that. When you're friend with someone and you talk, you'll find that your time of speaking to that person, increases as days go by. It's first, maybe you're just talking 2 minutes, you don't have anything else to talk. But the days go by, as you walk together, it's like you become more connected. Even it is so when it comes to the things of the Lord. Read the word of God. And let me tell you, in prayer, sometimes set yourself some time to fast. Not just pray, it's good to pray, but some days put them up. Prayer and fasting. Combine the two. Prayer and fasting. You cannot fast every day. I love eating, praise the Lord. But at times I have to put my food apart and separate myself from it. And it shows commitment. And I don't want to talk about that today. Read the word of God. This is second in the best. Read the word of God. Read the Bible. I love reading other books. I write books as well. I love reading other books. I love people to read my books. But there's nothing that can be compared to the word of God. Read the Bible. Why the Bible? Because the Bible is the best. Everything is being referred back to the Bible. So read the Bible. We used to sing, read your Bible and pray every day. Pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible and pray every day if you want to grow. I don't know if you did that when you were young. We used to do that when we were young. Nowadays, we don't really do that when we are old. I don't know. But I think it's a good song to remind us all every time. Read the word of God. Because it's the basic. When a person is a person of prayer and of the word of God, he becomes very strong in the inner man. Let me quickly illustrate this. If you're not in the video, just get in the video. I have your video on, and I'll thread this really quick because it's not what I thought. This right here in the middle, this is the mind of a human being. This is the mind. Right here is the spirit of a human being. Right here is the body of a human being. What you feed in your mind will affect what you do. So it depends. Do you feed your spirit more or do you feed your body more? I don't want to use the word body, flesh. You feed your flesh more. Now, how do you feed your spirit? Your spirit needs food. I believe God gave us food, normal food every day to remind us that we need to feed our inner man, our spirit. Our inner man. Now, this inner man, if you feed him, the inner man, if you feed him, he will be alive. He'll be able to speak with he'll be alive. He'll be able to speak with the Holy Spirit and get more from heaven because he's alive. He's active. And when we feed him, he'll bring a lot of good information to the mind. And this means he will control the body. The body will just follow. What the mind says or what the mind is up to, because the inner man is strong, he's well fed. If you do not feed the inner man will be weak. Now the flesh does not receive from the spirit. The flesh receives from the things that are open in the world. And these are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which are bad things. Now, if you don't feed your inner man, you'll have this man, this flesh, the body, the flesh, to be strong. If the flesh is strong, it will bring a lot of information to the mind. Now, if you bring a lot of information to the mind, this body will be able now to control your being. Your entire being, your body, your spirit, and your mind, your spirit, and your body, they all follow your body. Because a person going to sin does not leave his spirit behind. He goes with his spirit. So we should make sure that we feed our spirit. We feed our spirit with the word of God. And when we feed our spirit, the mind will receive more from the spirit. And when the mind receives more from the spirit, it will be having a lot of information from the Lord. And if it has a lot of information from the Lord, it will be able to control the body. Praise God. A simple illustration. You can think about it later. Anyway, so Point number three. So you pray, you read the word. Point number three, be part of a fellowship. Now, in my notes, I've written this. Be part, in brackets, active of a fellowship. Now, this is really important, especially in these end times. I don't want to go for reasons for that. But I realize that many times that I meet other believers and I share with them, I become strong. And sometimes I forget some things concerning myself, even my identity in the Lord. But when I meet other believers and I hear their testimonies, I'm here like I'm going to do this. Why? Because when you meet us, the Bible says, despise not the gathering of believers. Despise not, because if you despise it, you might think you're strong. And most times you think you're the strongest, you're the weakest. But when you gather with others and you see other people's areas of their strengths, and you say, God, give me more strength. I wanna do this, Lord. I know I can do this. And they'll be like, oh, you can do it. I did it before. And the book of Revelation says, actually, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This verse came. We overcome the enemy by the word of God and the word of our testimonies. There is power in hearing somebody else been through something that you're going through. There's a power in hearing somebody says, I'm going where you're also going. And that testimony can carry you even in these tough times. I remember when I was joined my bachelor degree, and I went to this fellowship. You know, I went from the village school where I was at day school, and we had all the things about the Lord, you know, at home, day school. And from there, I went to a boarding school, all men, no lady in that school. So maybe some teachers, they're ladies, praise the Lord. So I was like, I'm just in heaven, you know, boarding school. We just had a powerful fellowship. And then I went to the university. Now, the place I'm coming from, my hometown is really Christian area, and people, you know, they're on fire with God and all of that. Then I went to university, and I was seeing all sisters dressed like, oh, I was like, Lord, am I going to finish? I'm telling the truth here. Hallelujah. I mean, don't quote this example anywhere. Hallelujah. This is just for me sharing here. Hallelujah. So I was like, God, am I going to make it? And then after 2 weeks, I joined the fellowship. I remember on that day, it was a Saturday, when they had a service. And when I went there and I saw people worshiping the Lord, in the same university, they're on fire with God. In the same university, they're planning about going door to door, winning souls. They're planning about overnight prayers. They're planning about fasting. I was like, I'm back. Oh, I'm going to win them souls. And it doesn't mean that before that, I was not winning souls. When I was in school, I was part of the fellowship, I was the leader of the fellowship at secondary school. But when I went to the university, things changed, the atmosphere changed. I didn't think I could make it. But when I got there and I saw other believers, they're on fire. They're about souls. They're about loving Jesus and all of that. Oh, everything in me changed. Say, I'm going to do it. I'll make it. I'll go out, you know, and all of that. I had all that passion, all that energy came back. I believe God is calling us back to the active fellowship that was in Acts, in the book of Acts, after the Holy Spirit has come. In these end times, when there's a lot of deceiving stuff, when there's a lot of discouraging things, everything shows you that it, you know, bring stress and bring information that are evil and false. You go to the media, it gives you false information. You go to Facebook and all the Instagram and WhatsApp, and everything that comes around is either evil or false. But in these times, God is reminding us, gather as a fellowship. Go to church. Call a brother and a sister in the Lord. Have a chat. You have something, call your pastor, call your elder, call somebody that will encourage you in the Lord. And the last among these four is tell others about Christ. You know, somebody made a comment and said, the problem with the church today is overfed sheep. You know, overfed sheep. Now, I know that sometimes we love to eat, or we love to get everything about from God. But when we get, what do we use it for? Be a witness. Tell others about Christ. Tell others about what God has done in your life. Tell others about what God is doing in your life. Tell others about Christ. You You have all the witness you need to share about Jesus. Let me give you an example in the Bible. One day, the Lord Jesus with the disciples went across the sea and went somewhere where there was a grave. I believe that I've forgotten the name of the place. And they found a man who was had demons. He had legion, the Bible says, legion of demons, a big group of demons in him. And when he went there, those people over there, the people over there abandoned that man. That man was living on a mountain where there were graves. And Jesus commanded that those demons to leave that man. And the man was freed. And when that man was freed, he asked Jesus, "Can I follow you?" The Lord told him, "Look at what the Lord told him. Go and tell the others what God has done in your life." Do you know, this guy never knew Jesus. He just had maybe a 5 minutes encounter with Jesus. Just 5 minutes encounter with Jesus, his life has changed. And the Bible says that guy went and preached the gospel to six cities out of 5 minutes encounter with Jesus. How have we been with Jesus? How long? We have enough to be a witness. Praise the Lord. And the last thing I want to share from Proverbs 23, verse 18. And all these are spoken about the end time and what to do. The last thing I want to speak, be expectant. Oh, be expectant. Be expecting God to do something through you. Be expecting that God is going to use you mightily. Be expected that these times are just a sign of the end times. But the Bible says we shall overcome. We are more than conquerors. Come on. We've got this. We will do it. We'll make it. Nothing make you down. Nothing make you feel like you're done. You cannot do anything else. Your time like is over. No, you're in the right time at the never the past to tell you that you're done. No, you're in the right time. You are at the right moment. You've got everything to do. The Bible says God has blessed us with everything that pertains to spirituality, even normal life. He's blessed us. So go with expectation. Go with the power of God. No, and when you go with the power of God, don't wait to say I feel. You know, sometimes we want to say I want to feel. You know, no, just know. Hallelujah. Just know. The Bible says, know, you know that I am the Lord. Just know that you're saved. Know that the Lord lives in you. Know that you've got the power of God. Just know that you know. And when somebody tell you to prove, maybe you don't have a proof, but you just know that God has called you, that you have the hand of the Lord upon your life, that the best is yet to come. Everybody's freaked out. Everybody's confused. Even the leaders are confused, but we are not confused. We are in a perfect mind. We are expecting the harvest. We are expecting people to come to Jesus. We are expecting in these challenging times people to have their eyes move from what they were used to. They used to trust their security. They used to trust their government. They used to trust everything. But we know now that we need to trust God. We cannot trust anything else, but we have to trust God. And let me tell you, he will take us safe until we see him. The Bible says that he that knows how to keep us even unto that day that Christ is going to come, that day of rapture, that day when the dead will be risen from the dead. We are waiting for that day. That day is coming, you know, hallelujah. And the Bible says, giving us these times of the end time to remind us it's near. But praise God that I'll be part of those that will be able to meet the Lord in the air. I believe, I know. How do you know that? I just know, hallelujah. This is the time to have faith. This time to tell others about Jesus. This is the time when you meet somebody sick. Tell them about Jesus and don't worry, lay hands on them, pray for them. Hallelujah. You don't know who God is going to heal. You're not the healer. Jesus is the healer. Hallelujah. Do that. Call somebody, tell that friend of yours is in another city, cannot go to church. Tell the person, encourage him, tell him you can join our GSF family and be part of the fellowship of the church. Hallelujah. God bless you so much. And let's just have a prayer as we finish. Father, we thank you for this time. Father, we thank you for your grace that is sufficient. Thank you for the word that you have spoken to your people. Thank you that somebody here, I believe, is encouraged and strengthened. Thank you, the Lord. You have called every one of us in this place for as such a time as this, Lord. And it's not by mistake that we are living today. But Lord, you've trusted us. You've graced us to live in this time. We have enough grace to overcome everything that is happening. And in the name of Jesus, we are going bold. In the name of Jesus, we are going with the power of God. In the name of Jesus, we are going with the love of God. And we're going to show the world the true love, the true hope, and the true faith in Jesus' name. If you've listened to this message and you've not given your life to Christ, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You know, the Lord loves you. And I want to tell you that he loves you so much. I love you, but he loves you more. We GRCF love you, but he loves you more. So we can quickly join anyone that is, if you're seated two or three, and you know you're there and you want to give your life to Christ. And we can join these people by praying together. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your salvation, for loving me so much. Lord, I pray that today be a day that my life is changed. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. Be my Lord and Savior from now onwards. Thank you for your salvation. In Jesus' name. If you say this prayer with me from your heart, you come to church, or maybe you've never been to the fellowship, but you can join this family. You can be part of GICF, and the Lord loves you, and he is the best for you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the grace. Thank you for giving me grace to speak in the name of Jesus Christ. And for 1 minute, I know I've gone past time, just 1 minute. Let me pray for if you're here and you're not well in the body. Let me just speak a quick prayer of healing in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for anyone who is here that needs a healing on his body. Heal that person, dear Lord. I speak healing. I command healing. I command every infirmity to leave in Jesus' name. May your love go into the bones and into the flesh of this person and cause health to take place. Health to take place. Health in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Thank you so much, guys. I love you so much. God bless you all. Back to Pastor Joe. In Jesus' name. Amen.